So tonight we have a special treat. I'm going to go to the next slide. Randy Case is here. If you don't have the pleasure of knowing Randy, Randy works for an organization called C12. He mentors CEOs for a living, but it's a ministry that he does. He's got a little walk-up music. We can go ahead and get that going. And one really amazing thing is I got a phone call a few years back, like 7-8 years ago now, and this guy's like, "Hey, my wife and I want to move to Williamsburg. I live in Suffolk, and I know your friend Dan, and he told me to call you, and I was wondering if you could give me some advice on what house I should buy." And I get this voicemail. I'm like, "Who is this clown? Like, what is this?" And it was Randy, and he was calling me because he and Shelly wanted to move to Williamsburg, Virginia, because their children, who had gone to UVA, the national champions of basketball, had told them that they had a real gift with their friends and a gift of hospitality and a real potential for ministry. And so they wanted to move close to a college campus. They were living in Suffolk. So they bought a house just up the road from campus so that they could host you guys. And they've had this legacy of ministry through RUF and also outside of RUF ever since. And so Randy's going to come. He's been working on this topic of shame for quite a while. So give it up for Randy Case. You can't always get what you want, but tonight we've got exactly what we want. Randy Case. So thanks for being here, Randy. So I got to start doing the walk-up music thing. It's amazing. It's really great.
Keep it playing until we get to the end.
Is this all right?
Yeah.
I love this song. That's the biggest reason that we have it up here. But it does have something to do with my talk. I'm Randy. My wife, Shelly, is back in the back. Many of you know us. And I wanted to talk to you about shame today. And kind of the first thing I wanted to say was that it would be hard for you to probably relate to how much I want to bless you with this talk. I mean, and it is honestly true. I'm not saying it for any reason that just that you know this song says you can't always get what you want. You know, I actually really want this to be valuable to you, but you can't always get what you want. And so it's a time even right now, honestly, for me, and I kind of want to share some of myself with you today. It's a time of some shame, really, because I mean, Ben, I'd sort of forgotten all that, and you know the story and everything. But it's true. I mean, it's something that's important to Shelly and I is to bless you guys. But you know, as Mick Jagger said, and as you guys know, you can't always get what you want, you know? We have a lot of desires, and even for a talk, if you think about it, most of you have given some kind of public speaking thing. You've heard, or at least I've heard, I don't know if it's true, that, like, the number one fear in the world is talking in front of people. The number one, that's what I've heard. I don't know if it's true, but it's close, right? I can remember the first time I had to talk in public, I was, you know, student government kind of thing as a senior in high school, and I'd been elected or whatever, and I couldn't stand up. I could not stand up. And I sat down and addressed the student body. And they said, "Stand up!" And boy, then was I ashamed. And I did. I could hardly stand there. And, you know, that is the way all of us feel at various times. We almost can't stand. You know, and it's in many ways, it's as simple as we can't get what we want. And I want to try to unpack that for you, or at least that's what I think it is. Again and again, you'll hear me today saying, "Oh, this is the way you are." I don't know how you are. I'm going to try to share a little bit of how I think about this stuff. And, you know, I got 62 years, and I'm trying to learn from those. And in one big thing I'm trying to learn about is, okay, shame. I think shame is kind of it's a good topic. It's kind of a small topic. But the really big topic is loss. Because I think that's what shame is, honestly. It's probably fairly simple. I did some thinking about it, read something. Fairly simply, it's pain from loss, you know, or expected loss, or loss versus what you wanted or what you thought you wanted in the past or whatever. One of the things I'm going to do is share with you, hoping to be to your advantage, share with you some of the loss that I've had in my life. Look, and I'll tear up. That's something else that happens. You know, that is another emotion. But shame is strong, and I have had losses, and I've had pain from it. And I know you guys. I know you guys have it. I think you do. I also think at your age that you almost like are anticipating these losses and feel like you've got to protect against them, man. We got to, the performance thing, right, that we all feel. And I think they say, you know, you guys feel it more than I did when I was in college. That performance thing is like, why? Like, why do I have to perform? Why do I have to achieve? Why do I have to excel? Why do I have to get a job? Why do I have to leave my parents? Why do I have to find a wife or a husband? Why do I have to do all this stuff? I have to because, my goodness, I got in mind the standard is here, and I'm down here, or I'm afraid of being down here, or something. So that's the introduction to my little talk about shame. It's pretty confusing. But it has something to do with here and here, you know? And it has to do with the fact that we are here and we want to be here. I mean, really, in many ways, or at least for me. I want to start with this scripture. Can we get it up? It's Hebrews 12, 1, 2, some of the greatest stuff. But that's one, and two, I think we probably need three up there, but I'll find it. Oh, good. Okay, no, that's all right. I'll read three. No, you got Genesis. That's good. Let me just read this out loud to you.
Hey, Randy, can you use the mic so that...
Sure. Okay. Let me read you this out loud. The writer of Hebrews says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, those are fantastic lines. I'm going to end it. And now it says, it's disregarding the shame, and now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That's enough. Okay, you know, just to remark, Jesus had shame. Now, Ben knows so much about the theology, but I bet you that in a way kind of flies in the face of some of our theology, right? Like Jesus felt shame for what? It's an interesting word, despising the shame, but I don't want you to think of despising like I hate something. I looked up the word, you know, the PI in despising, for those of you, you know, etymologists, it really has to do with looking. And the better translation is disregarding the shame. So the shame was there, but he looked away. You know, why? Why? Well, there's so much there. I hope if you're interested, you'll kind of unpack it for yourself. But how shameful. Come on. He had this ministry. He wanted to save the world. He gathered these people. He tried to speak truth to them. It failed. They hated him ultimately. Almost everybody did. He saw that he was, you know, Hosanna, Hosanna, they were doing. But just a few days later, crucify him, and they did. And they defeated him, and they beat him. And his disciples, the only friends that he had, and he goes to the Last Supper the night before, and he says, I call you my friends, you know. They fell away. They really, truly did. They were at that moment in Gethsemane, which is really kind of talking about when he went to the cross, you know, there in Gethsemane, he says, you know, if it be your will, Lord, take this cup away from me. I don't want it. I don't want it. But not my will, thy will be done. So you have that thing of like what he wants at that moment. You know, he wants life. He wants to stay. He wants success. He wants all those things. And that's what he wants. But he doesn't get it. He is losing his very life. Someday you will face that. And today you might, some of you may be facing it. I have faced it for the first time recently. It's one of the reasons this talk is in me is because I lost. See, I'll cry. Don't worry about it. I lost my brother this last year, and he was my best friend. And I did not want that. Let me tell you, death is the one thing we don't want, right? And even Jesus didn't want it there. He said, if it's your will, take this cup away from me. Take this position away from me. How many times have you felt you're in a situation here at William and Mary or in high school or as a kid, it's like where what I've got right now and where I am, I just don't want it anymore. And I don't have any idea what to do. I kind of feel I know what I want, but I am down here and I am ashamed of it. I'm in pain over being here and not here. Now, I want to go, you know, to the end of the talk. And just tell you kind of what I'm going to say. And my main point, I wrote down, this is my main point. My main point is that you are down here. You are not awesome. There I go again. I am not awesome. That's what I've learned in 62 years. I kind of thought I was or I could be awesome, but God is awesome and you are not, or I am not, we are not. We really can't get what we want. And what we want even itself, that goal that we have, that thing we want, and I've had a lot of them, right? It's pretty broken too. We don't even, hear me here, we don't even have brains that work to tell us what we really want. And I'm going to give you a few examples. I'm going to rush to a few examples, and I've got them kind of just a little here to remind me of some of them. I thought it might be helpful for you to know, 62 years, I was you guys, let me tell you. I went to a school like you guys. I went to Duke, transferred to Virginia. And some of these are right in there. And, why'd I transfer to Virginia? People go, you transferred from Duke to Virginia? Because Duke wasn't good enough, I'm telling you. It wasn't good enough. I didn't think it was good enough. And why did I want it to be better? Because I didn't feel God wasn't good enough. I felt like I was down here and I wanted to be up there. I didn't get the thing. I felt shame every day. Do you know? I mean, y'all are going to, this is kind of funny. You know why I felt shame? Because I was at Duke. I thought it was sort of a crappy place. Nobody was having any fun. They were other wormy people. Do you know about Duke? Do you know about Duke? Then what we said was, it's everybody that didn't get Princeton. That's what we said. That's what we said. Now, today, maybe the Princeton people wish they'd go to Duke. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Mick Jagger wrote another song, which is a really good one, called I Can't Get No Satisfaction. That's you and that's me. We can't get what we want. And our minds, this is a big point. Our minds, I've learned after 62 years, not only are we broken, and that's why we can't get what we want, we just don't really got it together, you know, but also our minds are broken. That we think we know what we want. We think we sometimes know how to get what we want. Nah. No, he created us, and then we fell, and we've all inherited that. So now that's all going to be the down news. I'm gonna pull it up now, some, I hope. I don't mean to get you down, because it's a fantastic, great, great, wonderful life. It really is. I would go on one. How many people have seen the movie It's a Wonderful Life? Many, many of you. It's a wonderful life. Why was it wonderful for him? Because he died. Because it sucked so bad that he went into depression and he jumped off the bridge. That's why it was a wonderful life for him. Because he descended, went down. He gave in to the fact that it sucked so bad. And Potter was in power and his bank was failing. And everything, he felt so much shame he killed himself. That's why it was a wonderful life, because, my goodness, he came up from there. And that's what I hope for you. That's the good story. And obviously, he's representing Christ in that movie, right? I mean, he's a Christ figure. Christ himself, that's what he did, is he went down and he died, and then he came back up. That's what you guys have all got ahead of you. A lot of dying and rising, and that is wonderful. Now, let me tell you a story or two. I'd love to tell you a bunch of them, but I give you one from college. I was trying to think of the times where I felt most ashamed, where I felt most ashamed. So losing in sports. I used to really feel shame at that. And I was once in the biggest tournament and the biggest match of my life. I was up, and for those of you who play tennis, 40 love on my serve. So you have what's called triple match point. For those of you who you're like, all you got to do is win one of the next 3 points. You win the biggest match of your life. I didn't win it. I was so ashamed that I couldn't talk about it for years. It literally colored my whole view of tennis. I probably kind of quit tennis over that, right? I just felt bad about losing. But I want to, with a couple of these, I just want to look back and just say, like, what would you tell that kid today? And I would say, man, you got to experience losing when you were up 40 love on your serve. And it hurt really terrible. And now, maybe you can do a little better the next time. Maybe that dying is actually something that you have to do. Like if Jesus did it, dying in these shameful moments, maybe it's not a bad idea. Maybe it's not a bad idea. So that little story, here's another one. Well, I got to tell you, some of you guys are thinking about graduating and going to work. I have the two greatest jobs, biggest things that I ever wanted in terms of a job. I lost them both. Probably, I don't know, 10 years apart for negotiating for a higher salary before I was hired. Both of them, they withdrew the offer. They made me an offer, said, we want you to come work for us. And I thought very gently and everything. I said, well, you know, in one case, when I was teaching at Boston College, Ben wanted me to say, so, you know, I went to Virginia, and he wanted me to say this. I went to Virginia and Duke, and then I got a master's at Columbia and a PhD at Wharton. And then I went to Boston College, and I got an offer from Boston University, the largest private school in the nation, and it was just a fantastic place to be. And they offered me X, and I accepted. And then 2 days later, they said, you know what, we made a mistake, and we can only pay you Y. I couldn't stand it, being below where I wanted to be. I had nobody there to tell me, you can't always get what you want, to play the song for me. And, you know, I went back to him. I said, well, you know, I probably do, but don't you think, you know, you did offer me that by email or whatever. And he said, well, you know, we'll think about it. And then he called me the next day when Shelley and I were there at our home in Southboro, and our best friends were there. We were having the time of our life, and this dean called me up and said, hey, do you know that Mick Jagger song? He didn't say that. He said, you know, I tell you what, I'm sorry, but, you know, we're withdrawing the offer. And he didn't ever say why. And I just, the shame, I never knew. That's another thing about your mind. When I look back, like, I still don't know why they withdrew the offer. I don't know if it had anything to do with the fact that I didn't just kind of say, oh, well, okay, you did offer me that. But it was, hey, it was $10,000 difference or something. I could have just said, ah. And you can still feel the shame. You can see the shame in me right now. But I didn't. They withdrew the offer. And I had already quit at Boston College. I had to go back to them and say, Shelly's smiling, it was hard. It was pretty hard. You know, why was it hard? Simply because I couldn't get what I wanted. That was basically it. That is your life. And yet it I had all this shame, and it literally for years about that instance. There was another one, I won't go into it, that it's very similar. That's what hurt so bad. Have you ever had that where it's like you know, they say a dog returns to its vomit? I had the same dang thing with BU that I'd had 10 years earlier where I was kind of, you know, I had this offer, this great job, and I was good. I wasn't sure I wanted, wasn't sure he was good enough. I wasn't sure that company was good enough. And then they offered me this. I said, well, that's pretty good, but, you know, what about that? And they withdrew the offer. And I beat myself, probably for 20 years after that. I really did. Now, I want to stop here a second. I keep telling you, this is not about you. I'm telling you stories about me. You're not as perfectionistic as I am, you know? And you might think, well, he really cares about salary. I ask my wife, I don't care anything. I just feel like I'm here, and I want to be there. And salary kind of represents that for me sometimes. It doesn't today. I don't have a salary. I have my own little business. And I used to worry about that. I don't actually even think about how much money, you know, we make or anything like that. I just think about other things. I'm not saying I'm over the can't always get what you want thing. I just think about it in other ways. I just, as I was coming in here, I had a client quit. And I saw it on the text as I was getting out of the car right here, and I felt that. I thought, I'm going to tell them about that. Now, that hurts. That hurts. It ain't the money, let me tell you. It's that, you know, with just as I said with you guys, with me, I really want to, you know, bless this woman. And I now I feel like I screwed it up. I did. I sent her a text that, you know, blah, 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 that she didn't like. And look, I'm ashamed of it. So, but These are just some little stories. I want to go to one. I want to go to one right in the heart of school. I think this one's great. Girlfriends and boyfriends. I mean, that stuff, that is just so, is rife with shame, isn't it? And right, because you know, can't get what you want, and you don't want what you need. You know, Mick Jagger's sort of trying to say that you know, get what you need. Well, I don't know. I'm sure you just want a lot of stuff and you don't get it. So I had this girlfriend. She went to Tulane, and I was at University of Virginia by then, and she was in love with me, but. You can't get no satisfaction, right? I was not satisfied with that. And I was, you know, having a hard time, whatever. I wish that she called more. And now I know. I mean, I know her. She's not the call more person, you know. And because she had issues of her own. One of the reasons I liked her was she was a perfectionist. She had self-image issues, right? But so I, at some point, just start working up more angry and more angry. If she doesn't call tonight, I heard about my best friend at Duke had chewed out some girl, and she came back to him 6 months later and said, "Oh, I've just been mourning over you. I can't believe I screwed you over." You know, and I thought, man, maybe that works. Maybe that's the way to get what you want, is you just like chew them out for not being what you want them to be. So I had decided in my head, but look, you're laughing. I know you're not as immature as I am, but you are the same age I was. So maybe your brain works as badly as mine did then. I literally said, I'm chewing her butt out if she doesn't call tonight. This is what's so great about this story, is she did call that night. But when I walked in, I said, my roommate's been here all day. If she called, he'll know it. I asked him, did she call?
He said, no, man, nobody called.
Because he was stoned. But that's all I needed to hear. I picked up the phone and literally let into her and just blasted her and called her, you know, all these names and everything. And she said, the only thing, she's like, I called you a little bit ago. I went back to my roommate later and goes, yeah, maybe she did call. You know, maybe she did. Well, so that's, think of it. But that sounds funny. Sounds great. The shame overwhelmed me. And I had a physics test the next day. And I did get a 10 on that test out of 100, but I did not deserve a 10. I did not deserve a 10 because I wrote down on that there were 10 questions, and on the first question I wrote number one, and you know you're supposed to work these little problems off, and I wrote like X equals, and then I just stopped, and I got up and walked out of the thing. All of the stuffing had been taken out of me because I didn't get what I wanted. You know? I demanded it, but I didn't get it. So, now, again, you're not me. You're not as wacko as I am. But I'm telling these stories because I think it might help you. It could. I look back on that, and I think, I mean, you know, just like some really obvious stuff, like, she's not calling you as much as you want her to. Maybe it's a distance, and maybe you could close the distance a little bit and find out. Just find out what the heck's going on with her. I was so interested in myself. So that's another just main point. Hear me. You can't get what you want. You cannot. And you already want the wrong things. You know you do. You don't know what you need. Mick Jagger says you get what you need. I want to refer you to another little thing. I want to give you, okay, thank you. She's telling me when I just got a few minutes left. I want to give you there's so much here. There's so much that I could say here. But I want to give you one, maybe just some little things to take with you. I told you I was going to try to lift you up. I need to get in the lifting up business because I'm, you know, I don't want to be putting you down. I don't want to make you feeling too bad. Here's the best thing you got, and it's the Lord's Prayer. It's the best thing you got in the shame thing, right? And I at least never paid much attention to the Lord's Prayer through my life. You know, just said, oh, it always sounds so goofy to me. But think about it for a second. Every piece of it, except one tiny little piece, is about God. Right? It's directing your view to God and what he wants. Because you know what? You're going to get what he wants. You know, but anyway, listen, just, I don't know if you might take it. Some of you might take it and just take the Lord's Prayer. They're like, our Father who art in heaven, which is like looking at him up there in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Right? That's what Jesus said. He said, not my will be done, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. Give us this day our daily bread. And the daily bread thing, if you ever look into it, it's just fantastic. There's all these different translations of what daily bread means, blah, blah, blah. But basically, you know, you're saying, God, give us what we need. Give us what we need. And stop there real sec. He may not give you what you need now. The Lord's Prayer says it, maybe because he says, like, lead us not into temptation. Theologians write for that for, you know, millions of pages. Like, why would he lead us into temptation? Well, he led Jesus into temptation. And I don't think that's what I need. I'm asking him not to lead me into temptation, but he's God and I'm not. Remember, my main point is he's awesome. You're just not. So, when you feel the shame, it's just like a gift to you. It's like a little emotion that you go, it's like, this really hurts. Maybe I'm not God, and he is. Maybe, and I'm going to try to give you a few little things to do with it. Maybe I could look to God and not so much to myself. But so give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Here's the only thing about us, as we forgive those who trespass against us. But it doesn't really say, Lord, I'm going to forgive those who trespass against me. It doesn't say, like, I've decided to. How many of you tried to forgive and you just can't do it? Because you can't necessarily get what you want. But he just says, it just says as. It's a funny thing. It's like, as we forgive those who trespass. Lead us not into temptation. Please don't do it, Lord. But he may. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. The theologians make a big deal about this evil thing, and I want to make that point there. This being below where you want to be, we're pretty confused about whether it's sin or bad luck, right? We're pretty stinking confused. I don't think anybody knows. Richard Rohr, who's a guy I love and listen to a devotional on, maybe some of you do, he says, like, the number one thing people confess at the confessional is not going to church. And Richard Rohr goes, that's not a sin. Why are people confessing that stuff? Well, go ahead and confess. Just confess that I'm down here, Lord, and I want to be up there. Sin is tough, man. I know y'all are smart people. You thought about it. Like, is that really a sin? Is that really a sin? Is that really a sin? I'll give you a quick one there. The most ashamed I've ever been in my life was when I was getting my PhD at Wharton. And some of you know how that doctoral stuff goes. Like, you talk about shame. You feel it every day because those professors have all the power and you don't. And you want to be one of them. That's what shame feels like, right? And they have the power over you to keep you from getting out. Well, I went to Wharton because of this guy. I won't say his name, but because of this guy who said, like, oh, Randy, I want you to come here and be my guy and everything like that. And then a year or two later, he had kind of discarded me. He got disgusted with me in some way that was never really expressed. And there was a day that he was sitting in a room almost exactly like this, and he was up front like that, and I was sitting right there. And there was a there were several doctoral students in the room, and he was saying, like, I really, you know, I've got great opportunities for you as a doctoral student if you want to kind of come work with me. Now, I had come there to work with him, and he had cast me off without really saying it. You know, I didn't know it. I just kind of felt, I wondered. And at this particular time, the most shame I've ever felt in my life, he was in the middle of like this, and he said, Randy, will you stop crunching ice? And that meant, that was like the whole world to me. Do you see that? I mean, can you feel it? That was like he is so disgusted with me, and he's out there asking for other students, and he is not really working with me. That was unspoken. And will you stop crunching ice? And I felt more shame probably than I've ever felt in my whole life. And I've carried it with me, even when I crunch ice to this day. But let me just ask you, like if going not going to church is a sin, is crunching ice a sin? So do you feel shame about sin? You're not really sure. You feel shame because you're not God. And that's what I felt. It's the powerlessness. The mistakes, the, you know, it's never about just like something somebody did to you. It's always your own role in it that you're not really sure about. That's what shame feels like. I want to hasten to the end. My wife gave me the hindsight. My main point is, he is awesome and you are not. My so what is. Oh, here's another good one. So on the day that I came to Jesus, I was feeling all these things. Of course, I felt them my whole life. I still feel them some. But I actually heard from him, or at least I think I did. Remember, you know, my mind is also fallen. So, but boy, I really think I mean, he literally spoke to me. And you know what he said? I saw everything you ever did, all the times that you screwed up. And it was okay. It was okay. That is what Jesus says. And I wrote down here, I think this is a good one. You may not like it as much as I do. You aren't okay. You're not, but it's okay. But it's okay. And now let's unpack that just a little bit more. When I say I'm a pretty negative guy, so you've heard a lot of negative. You aren't okay. Actually, you've got Jesus in you. Now, there is no one, Jesus says, is good but God alone, and you've got God alone in you. Now, that is unbelievably good. But you are not okay, meaning you got God in you, but you got a lot of other crud as well, right? You do. And you're not going to get what you want, but what can you do? I wrote down a couple of things, and this is just my, this is not, you know, this is the gospel according to Randy, this ain't the gospel according to Jesus. Be thankful for the little things. The little things. Be thankful for them. You're getting a glimpse of paradise in your life, in your world. And these are wonderful things. They are right alongside silly things like crunching ice and not getting the job. And on the performance deal, I'm not saying don't try to do well, don't try to achieve. But recognize, of course, that's not paradise. You're not getting what you want. But there is a little glimpse of paradise in here. Turn, that's what Jesus says. Repent, it's all he means is turn, because the kingdom of God is at hand right here. Here's another thing. What Jesus did right there is he saw the joy that was set before him. Now you can, I'm sure the theologians is like, before him, does that mean like he was going to be raised in 3 days, it's a joy, we're going to be in eternity? I don't think so. I think it's both that and right here. There is joy right here. And it is marvelous. And it is a gift. And it is Jesus. Last little point. I don't know if you've ever heard, but the gap. You're in the gap between here and here. I mean, that there is a gap. There's a gap between you and God. There's a gap between everything you want. There's a gap between being great and being you. Remember, you're not that great. There's a gap. And what do you do in that gap? And I want to say, this is my strongest one. Be in that gap. Be in that gap. And it's going to be painful a lot of the time. And there is some fantastic joy. And there's shame. Fine. Be in the gap. Because you know who is right there? Jesus. So when I say, don't fix the gap, you're not going to, let me tell you. Don't fix it. Fix your eyes on Jesus. There is a great scripture that says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Where is it? It's not up there. Jesus is the author and perfecter. He both gave us our faith, and he's going to kind of make it a little bit better. But Jesus is right there. And why is he there? Because he died. God is sometimes hard for you because you look up at him and you go, man, he got all these rules. He got all this power. I'm not him. I want to be him. Right? That's Adam and Eve. I'm in the gap. I want to be him. Jesus died. It's the death of Jesus that... is it still up there? Yeah, it is. Cling to the Lord because of the joy that's set before me. The cross! That's what Jesus did. You can do that. You can go ahead and die there in the gap. Die, what does it mean to die? Die to what you want. Die to what you want. So, this really is the last thing, and I'm hoping to take questions if we got time. But so you can't always get what you want. If you try sometime, you just might find, this is Mick Jagger, you get what you need. Well, I think that's kind of a little pop psychology there at the end, you get what you need. But I thought, I'll give them something maybe they can think of. How would I change those words? So it does rhyme anyway. It's not perfect. You get what you bleed. Really, you get what you bleed. Right? This is life. This is life. Not that I am, but that he is, and I have whatever grace he gives me. This is life. The blood, of course, the death is in the blood, but the life is in the blood. So Jesus did, but you think about that whole metaphor about the blood of Christ. The blood, we drink it. We drink it in the cup, and yet he shed it. So complex. Look into it if you want. I mean, I might. It's just a metaphor. You get what you bleed. So, and there is incredible life in what you bleed. So I want to end there. If you got any questions, we have time for any questions. Would you text me?
Yeah, there would be Billy and a couple.
Okay.
So shame is good and normal in a way, but how do we not just feel down and dumb about it all the time?
Good. Well, I wanted to talk, that had another one here. So I mean, Ben knows, and some of you guys know, I have, related to some of this, I have really felt terrible in my life. I don't now. But I have had tremendous depression. So I kind of get that. How do you just not feel down all the time? I would say, here's what I would say to you, because I know some of you feel down all the time, and others of you feel a little down. It's like anxious, angry, greedy, hungry, a lot of emotions. What do we do about that stuff? I think one is, obviously, as you kind of accept it for that you're there. Be there in that. The wisest thing ever got told me about depression is go ahead and be depressed. That's okay. And then maybe, he'll pull you out of it. That's one thought. A second one is Of course, don't try to, you're not going to fix it, but you can work on it. That's what it means to be in the gap, right? That's where you are in William and Mary. You're just going to, you know, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I would say this, be willing to work on it, meaning find some answers. You know, there's a lot of smart people in the world that know a lot about being down. Get some of their stuff in your head. And here's the big thing, though. It's back to fixing your eyes on Jesus. What you're really looking for is the light. You're in darkness. I say you're not going to even be able to see the light if you don't go ahead and be in darkness. Go ahead and be there, and now start looking for some light. You know, and the, yes, and there's a chemical thing. I've got to put it, I got really, really helped because of some supplements. They're not the drugs, you know, some supplements, some vitamins and stuff like that. I just, with my, because I had my wife helping me, don't be alone in the dark. It's not good to be alone. Share that. Open yourself up. Let some light in. That's what I would say. Look for the light. And but, you know, don't try to fix it. My goodness, you're not going to do. Fix your eyes on Jesus. That He is the light, the way, the truth, and light. Find that.